Heyo, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part two of Werewolf Skin by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. First off, again, please subscribe to youtube.com/howsthatthing. Somehow it's getting less views, and this is very stressful, but I'm putting out videos still consistently, and somehow it's my job, or part of my job. Anyway, I would thoroughly appreciate that. Shout out to Alex Dixon, who keeps asking if this is going to be up yet. It will now, or after I finish it, which probably won't even be today. I have no idea what's going on in the book. I truly don't. I have zero idea. I know that a kid went to a place and thinks that the neighbors are werewolves. That's it, right? Anyway, I wanted to read one thing really quick before I started, which was a review I got on archive.org, which is where the Dune Reads Goosebumps podcasts are hosted. It's from JJ Sugarbeam, who I think I tried to Google when it came up, but I swear to God, it almost made me cry when I read it the first time. Let me just read this because it made me very happy. The subject was Hero. Dune is honestly my hero. I suffer from bipolar disorder, anxiety and depression disorder, and PTSD. When shit got hard and I had nowhere else to turn, I had Dune's podcasts. I'm a victim of heavy bullying, and when I discovered his podcasts, I had no friends. He was my best friend. I'd sit in the back of the library at recess and lunch listening to his podcast, and I'd forget all the bad things in my life and just smile, giggle, and enjoy his reading. Anyone going through a hard time and just needs to feel at ease, or anyone looking to take a trip down memory lane of being a child but with a comical adult twist to your favorite classics, should listen to this. I'm going to add that because that sentence didn't go anywhere. Anyway, I highly recommend this podcast. Less than three heart. Anyway, I read that and I was like stressed out about something. And I was like, man, that makes me feel good about what I'm doing. Or what I've done for the past, what, is it 9 years almost now? I don't know. Just reading that made me insanely happy. Then I went to iTunes and I was like, what's the most recent review there? Oh, I tried to listen to this with my niece and nephew and he was swearing and this is a terrible podcast and no one should listen to it. But let's ignore that one and focus on the one that did make me happy. Anyway, Werewolf Skin, part two on Dune Reads Goosebumps. Wow, did I mess up the name of my own podcast? On Dune Reads Goosebumps. Chapter number 15. Why is everyone in Wolf Creek obsessed with werewolves? I wondered. I don't know, it's a town name. They need a thing to rally around. I laughed at Hannah and teased her the rest of the walk to school. I mean, how could anyone actually believe in werewolves today? You're only trying to scare me, I told her. But I don't scare easily, remember? I saw one of the German shepherds. It was howling in the Marling's window. Hannah shrugged. Believe what you want to believe, she murmured, unlike people with strong religious beliefs today. Don't try to scare me with werewolves anymore, I told her. But I had a surprise when we arrived at school. Even Mr. Sheen, the sixth grade teacher, oh yeah, I remember making a Tiger Blood reference, wanted to talk about werewolves all morning. He was about 40, short and chubby, with thinning brown hair and thick black eyeglasses perched on his round pink face. A cat just jumped on my arm. He wore a yellow sweater that made him resemble a ripe pear or a bumblebee, if it had stripes. Damn it, R.L. Stine, the ripe pear was a way better analogy. Sorry, R.L. Stine, I'll leave it to you. But Hannah was right. He was very nice, very friendly. He welcomed me eagerly and introduced me to the other sixth graders, and really made me feel at home. He assigned me a seat near the door in the back. Hannah sat in the front row. Nerd! Everyone knows the cool kids sit in the back. Unless they have vision problems, then the cool kids sit somewhere near the front row, but not in the front row still, because even vision problems don't make it so you want to sit with the nerds. I spotted Sean and Arjun near the windows on the other side of the classroom. They nodded, but they didn't say shit. They both looked rumpled and kind of tired. Their baggy clothes were very wrinkled. Their hair was wild. Oh no, they probably used Axe FX molding putty. Because that's how you get wild hair. They look as if they'd been up all night, I thought. Weird thought. After taking attendance and making a few announcements, Mr. Sheen sat down on the edge of his desk. That's a cool teacher move. His eyes traveled around the room. He waited for us to settle down. Does anyone know what the study of lycanthropy is? Isn't lycan like a wolf? Right? I think I should know this from listening to Danzig albums. He asked. Oh yeah, by the way, in that negative review, she was like, and he also confuses the word ask and axe or some other complaint. Okay, I'm just urban. Sorry, you know? Behind his glasses, his dark eyes glowed. I had never heard the word. But to my surprise, everyone's hands shot up. He called Arjun. It's about people changing into wolves, Arjun said. Werewolves. Sean, the vampire apparently in the classroom, exclaimed. Mr. Sheen nodded. Yes, werewolves, he repeated. That's what lycanthropy is the study of. He cleared his throat. Since Halloween comes later this week, I thought we might spend some time discussing lycanthropy. There's going to be a full moon on Halloween night this year. A tall, athletic-looking boy interrupted. Oh, he's a vampire. Or a werewolf. Or a zombie. Or a pirate. He's one of those things. Yes, there is, Mr. Sheen Dunn agreed. Many people believe a full moon is needed to bring the werewolf to life, but they are wrong. Although a werewolf's powers do grow stronger as the moon grows fuller. Crossing his legs like he had to go pee-pee, he leaned back and began to talk. He explained how the werewolf legends began over 200 years ago in Europe. A normal person bitten by a werewolf becomes a werewolf himself when the moon shines on him. You know, like an American werewolf in Paris or London or Lupin. Is that the one in Harry Potter? Probably is. I probably know everything. It is a curse that cannot be removed, Mr. Sheen said, speaking in a low, steady voice, trying to sound spooky. By the way, I'm drinking a vodka with club soda and a little bit of lime, but it is 2:11 today, February 11th, so I did drink some Steel Reserve earlier. Don't worry. No matter how much he tries to live a normal life, a man inflicted with the curse turns into a wolf. Under the light of the moon. Girls too? Hannah asked. Such a feminist. Some kids giggled. Yes, girls too. Except for they're called were-bitches. Not because women are bitches, because female dogs... Stop yelling at me, that's not what I meant. My point is, it would be funny because female... Forget it. Werewolves, they're called she-wolves. Leave me alone. The teacher answered seriously. The werewolf must rage and howl, Mr. Sheen continued, and prowl the woods or forest in search of the victims, but never in the savannah and definitely not in the swamps. Cool, a red-haired boy in front of me muttered. Everybody laughed. At daybreak, the werewolves must shed their wolf skin.
Oh, like the title of the book, eh?
The teacher explained. They return to human form. They must hide their wolf skin until the next night. They must hide the skin in a safe place. Because if someone takes the werewolf skin and burns it, the werewolf will die.
I don't think that's standard werewolf mythology, R.L. Stein, but I'm gonna go with it because I trust you.
Cool! The red-haired boy repeated. More laughter. Kids started talking excitedly.
Oh, did you hear about the werewolves? Yeah, I heard about the werewolves. Oh, they're so tight. Did you hear about the skin? Yeah, I was there right next to you. Oh, cool. Let's keep listening.
It took a while for Mr. Sheen to quiet everybody. He jumped to his feet, pulled down his yellow sweater, and paced in front of the chalkboard. Does anyone in this class believe that werewolves really exist? He asked. I snickered like a chocolate bar that had nougat and cream and caramel. I didn't think any kids would raise their hands, but to my surprise, every single hand in the room shot up.
You all believe in werewolves? Mr. Sheen declared.
Yes, we do, I heard Arjun murmur softly. Yes, we do. Si, nosotros podemos.
Sean repeated. I turned and realized they were both staring hard at me. I felt a sudden chill. What is their problem? I wondered. Why are they acting so weird?
Chapter number 16. By the way, if you're in the San Diego area, I might be doing a live Dune Reads Goosebumps, Give Yourself Goosebumps podcast at a comedy show in like a month. So, you know, stay updated on my Twitter and Facebook and whatnot.
After school, Sean and Arjun came up to me at the back of the classroom, where the cool kids hang out. They probably had cigarettes on them. Outside the room, lockers slammed. The tile walls echoed with shouts and laughter. The two guys studied me solemnly.
What's up?
I greeted them, zipping my backpack. Mr. Sheen waved and walked out, carrying a bulging briefcase.
What's that? You know, just a bulging briefcase.
The three of us were alone in the room.
How's it going?
Sean asked.
Is it weird being in a new school? Arjun said.
Oh, what thoughtful questions.
Yeah, kind of, I told them.
Especially since I know I'm only here for a few weeks. You're lucky, Arjun joked. Sean and I are stuck here. Wolf Creek isn't so bad, I said. I swung the backpack onto my shoulder. He's probably one strapping it. God, he's so cool. The two boys stared at me intently. They didn't say anything. Sean shoved his hands into his baggy jean pockets. In 90s jeans, you could hide all sorts of things. It's not like the tight jeans the kids are wearing now. I like the Levi's 514 slim straight. That's what old Dooner wears. Arjun fiddled with a silver ring on his little finger. Finally, Sean broke the silence.
You don't believe in werewolves, he said softly.
Huh?
Well, I hesitated. You didn't raise your hand, Arjun arjadded. Everyone else did.
Yeah, I know, I replied. I really don't believe in them. I mean, come on, guys. It's practically the 21st century.
It is if you're listening to this now.
Woo, time travel.
See a lot of guys with fur on their faces walking around on the streets? I don't think so.
Oh shit, I have fur on my face. Am I a werewolf?
Nah, I'm just a bear. But straight. What's that make me? Just a hairy dude?
I meant it to be funny, but they didn't laugh. Like the listeners to this podcast. They kept staring at me with their solemn faces.
Werewolves exist, Arjun said softly. We can prove it to you.
For sure, I replied sarcastically as if I was an extra and clueless, rolling my eyes. The Easter Bunny exists too. I saw him riding a bus back home in Cleveland.
We can prove it to you, Alex, Arjun insisted. We can show you a werewolf.
A real one, Sean added.
No thanks, I said. I really...
You can take pictures of it, Arjun erupted.
Yeah, you can take a whole roll, his friend cried as if he was trying to sell toilet paper.
That made me stop and think. I remembered the photo contest I planned to enter. I needed a Halloween photo, a really good Halloween photo for a contest. They moved closer, surrounding me, forcing me to back up until I bumped into the windowsill.
Want to see a real werewolf, Alex? Sean demanded.
Want to take photos of a real werewolf? Arjun arjaxed.
They stared hard at me, challenging me.
What do I have to do?
I asked, like a little bitch.
Chapter 17, this is the 17th chapter.
Aunt Marta laughed.
Ha ha, Hannah, you look dreadful, she cried,
pressing her hands against her cheeks, like that kid did in Home Alone, whose life hasn't gone well since.
Thank you. Hannah took a low bow. Thank you. After dinner, Hannah Montana had come over to show off her Halloween costume. She changed her mind about dressing as a pirate. The costume she chose instead was hard to describe. She had taken a lot of old clothes, torn them up, and sewn them back together, like some sort of hipster who thinks they're a fashion designer. Her baggy pants had one brown leg and one green leg, but if you're Dune and you're not good with colors, it would look the same and you wouldn't say anything and just assume she was in the shadow in one leg. And they had checkered patches at the knees. She wore a ragged shirt of yellow, blue, red, every color you can imagine.
Well, I can imagine colors you don't even know about, like blello
and pebrown.
You don't know what pebrown looks like.
An even more colorful jacket over the shirt and a floppy rag hat that kept falling over her face.
What are you supposed to be? I asked. A junkyard?
She didn't laugh. I'm a rag doll, she replied.
Don't you get it?
She tugged at the jacket.
Rags?
Ah, it would have made more sense if you put on like doll makeup or something like that, but you just wore shitty clothes that are stitched together. It's hard to understand, but no. Do your own thing. You just be you.
Aunt Marta and Uncle Colin both laughed.
Ha ha ha. I was happy to see them enjoying themselves. They had both seemed tired and low at dinner. They had barely spoken to me.
There used to be a song about a rag doll.
I think songs last forever. I think that's why people make them, Aunt Marta said.
Remember it, Colin? My uncle shook his head.
I don't remember anything anymore, he replied.
You and me both, Uncle Colin, you know what I'm saying? I definitely don't remember the first half of this book. I'm lucky if I remember to get up in the morning.
Ooh, that got dark.
Ah, give me a break, Colin, Aunt Marta scolded. She gave him a playful shove. She began singing a song about a rag doll.
There was a little rag doll, and she lived in a bag, y'all. Her name was Dune, and she never left the room because she had to record Goosebumps. And also, Dune's a dude's name, but it's not a real name, so never mind.
That was the song she sang. It was terrible.
Hannah did a silly dance, twirling her hands above her head
like a helicopter.
One of her jacket sleeves fell off, and we all laughed.
Where's your costume, Alex? My aunt demanded.
Go put it on. Come on, let's have a preview.
I haven't put one together yet, I stammered.
Well, let's get some old clothes and make you a costume tonight, Aunt Marta insisted.
No, I need to think about it,
I told her. I didn't have my mind on costumes. I kept glancing out the front window at the darkening sky, thinking about what I planned to do later. I planned to meet Sean and Arjun in the woods by the creek. At school, they told me to take my camera and meet them there. Aw, some Pokemon Snap stuff going on. They said that the werewolf comes to that spot every night when the moon is at the highest point in the sky. It howls up at the moon, Arjun said in an excited whisper, and then it lowers its head and laps up water from the creek. Ew, don't like bears shit in creeks? And then you like ingest it and get sick. My uncle was riding a dirt bike through some like back wooded weird areas in California, like up near Mammoth, I think, and got a tiny bit of water in his mouth and got some sort of rare disease. And the tiny drop was enough for like the like whatever disease control department. That's not what it's called. I could come up with it if I had more time. But anyway, it was enough for them to contact him and be like, where were you? What were you doing that you got weird fucking bear feces in your mouth? So anyway, shout out to my Uncle Brad. Wait till you see it, Sean exclaimed. It's a man and a wolf at the same time. He's half human, half animal. Trying to come up with that book. Animorphs. He's all animorph. Damn it. I'm too late. I narrowed my eyes at the two of them. I tried to decide if they were goofing or not. Their expressions were so serious and so excited. I decided they were telling the truth. Was it possible? Did werewolves really exist? I pictured the howling creature in the Marlings' window. And I pictured the two animals in the woods ripped to pieces. By a werewolf? Question mark. God, my throat is dying. The back of my neck tingled. I'd never believed in werewolves, but I'd seldom been out of the city, like Charlie Kelly. Here, in this small town surrounded by woods, they began to seem real. Will you meet us at midnight? Sean asked. I didn't want to return to the woods at night. But after what I didn't want to return to the woods at night, not after what I'd seen there, but I didn't want them to know I was afraid. And I really needed a great photo to win the contest. A photo of a werewolf would definitely win. You gotta think bigger picture. Sure, I don't remember what this contest is, but I'm pretty sure if you had a legitimate picture of a werewolf, you could make a lot of money. What else could come close? So I agreed to sneak out of the house and meet Sean, and Arjun at midnight in the woods. But now, as it grew later, I began to feel really nervous about it. As I glanced out at the darkness beyond the window, I had a heavy feeling in the pit of my stomach. Diarrhea, diarrhea. When you're looking for wolves that are aware and the pain you can't bear, diarrhea, diarrhea. When what you're looking for likes to howl and there's a pain in your bowel, diarrhea, diarrhea. I'm good at those songs. And my hands were suddenly cold and clammy. Alex, what are you thinking about? Aunt Marta's voice broke into my thoughts. Huh? I blinked and shook my head. Everyone laughed. You were staring out the window with the strangest look on your face, Hannah declared. Oh, just watching the moon, I said with a shrug. It's moon madness, Uncle Colin joked. Wait, that's not a joke. That's just a dumbass thing to say. Ooh, looks like a bad case. What's that? I asked. How should I know? My uncle replied. I just made it up. We all laughed again. God, I need to go hang out with these people. They'd actually think I was funny. I just hang out with my fiance and good friends, and they all are sick of my shit. Everyone was in such a good mood. I wished I could relax and have fun too, but all I could think about was sneaking out to the woods.
Hannah went home a short while later. I said goodnight to my aunt and uncle and closed myself up in my room. I glanced at the bed table clock. It read 10:15. Nearly 2 hours to wait. I checked out my camera, made sure I had it loaded with high-speed film. Then I sat down to read a photography magazine.
That means pornography.
And wait, hoping the time would pass quickly. My eyes stared at the pages of the magazine, at the jugs. But I couldn't read. I couldn't concentrate.
Oh my God, he's a were-illiterate.
Every full moon, he doesn't know how to read anymore. It's a terrible disease that no one actually looks into because it's so funny. Every few seconds, my eyes went up to the bed table clock. Why does time move so slowly when you're waiting? Finally, at about 10 to midnight, I closed my magazine, pulled on an extra sweater, and then my jacket. I grabbed my camera case and slung the strap over my shoulder. Then I tiptoed into the bedroom door in my Jordans. My aunt and uncle were probably out in the woods, photographing night animals. But in case they decided to stay in tonight, I didn't want them to hear me sneak out. I clicked off the lights in my room. Then I reached for the doorknob and tugged. Hey! I turned the knob and tugged again. I turned it the other way and gave the door a hard jerk.
I don't believe it!
I gasped. I'd been locked in.
Chapter number 18, I'm now drinking a Miller High Life beer. The door must be stuck.
I decided. I tugged it hard. Tugged it a dozen times. You're gonna go blind. I even tried pushing, but I couldn't budge it. It had definitely been locked. Locked from the outside. I angrily spun away from the door. Why did my aunt and uncle lock me in? I wondered. Because of last night? Because of my close call in the woods?
They can't do this to me!
I exclaimed. I ran to the window. I jerked the curtains apart and reached for the window handles. The window slid up a few inches, and I let out a gasp. Metal bars had been installed outside. Had the house randomly picked up and moved to the ghetto? Or were my aunt and uncle being all weird and, weird aunt and uncles? When did they put those on? This afternoon? I'm a prisoner, I told myself. I'm locked in this room like a caged animal. Despite all my rage, I am still maybe potentially a werewolf in a cage. They can't do this to me, I repeated. They can't. I slid the window up all the way. I grabbed the metal bars with both hands and struggled to pry them loose like a cartoon prisoner. But they wouldn't budge. I was still tugging on the bars when I heard a low growl. My hands dropped away and a sharp cry escaped my throat. I froze. And I heard another growl, louder this time and close, so close, Glen close. A shrill howl rose up. From the Marlings' house? I moved my face up close to the bars and peered out. Their bedroom window stood open again, but the house was completely dark. No lights anywhere. I know what completely dark means, R.L. Stine. It's not completely dark. Also, they had a strobe light going on and some ravers in there, and they're all... It's dark. I squinted into the darkness. The moon had disappeared behind a cloud. I could barely see across to their house. Pressed against the bars, I heard an animal grunt. Ugh. And then I heard a thud. A dark shape dropped down from the Marlings' open window. Another thud. Another shape dropped down on all fours. Ready for action, baby. One of the creatures raised its head in a long, mournful howl. That was my howling, but mournful. Could you get the mournful vibe? Was it sad? And then they took off, loping heavily toward the backyard, heading to the woods. Dogs? Wolves? Humans?
Maybe some sort of hybrid listed in the name of the book? I don't know. I couldn't see clearly in the darkness. I stared out, and a silvery light washed over the house as the cloud drifted away from the moon. But now it was too late. Too late. The creatures had vanished. I pounded the bars with my fists. Sean and Arjun were waiting for me by the creek, and there was no way I could get there because my aunt and uncle put bars in the windows and locked the doors because they really like cleaning up little boy poop. That's what they enjoy. Really? No bathroom access? They just assumed he'd be fine through the night? What would they think? That I was a total chicken brack? Or a wimp? Wagop? That's what wimps sound like. I'm missing my big chance to take a winning photograph, I realized. Angrily, I slammed the window shut. Tomorrow night, I declared out loud. Tomorrow night, I'm getting out of here. My aunt and uncle won't stop me. Tomorrow night, I'm going into the woods, and I'm going to find out the truth about werewolves. Ah, that was a bullshit chapter. Why couldn't they just skip that one and make it the next night without the added trouble of him not being able to get out of the house? If he's going to find out the truth about werewolves, I didn't even need to know that he was just locked in. That's a bummer. Come on, R.L. Stein. I'm trying to read Goosebumps here. Chapter number 19. How could you do that to me? I shrieked like Shrek. I burst into the kitchen for breakfast the next morning and strode angrily up to my aunt and uncle. How could you lock me in my room without telling me? I cried like Rapunzel with no hair. Aunt Marta set down her coffee mug. She gazed up at me with a troubled expression, then turned to Uncle Colin. Maybe we should have told Alex, she said. Uncle Colin narrowed his eyes at me. God, there's a lot of eye narrowing in this book. Did you try to get out last night, Alex? Well, yeah, I shit on the floor, asshole. What the fuck do you think? Yes, I tried to get out of the room at some point. Well, I hesitated. I didn't want to tell them what I had planned to do. I don't like being in a cage, I protested like Zack de la Roca. I'm 12 years old, and I really think... No one cares what 12-year-olds think, and also we're sorry, Aunt Marta interrupted. She glanced at the kitchen clock and poured me a bowl of cornflakes. But we did it for your own good, Uncle Colin added. He folded his napkin tensely between his hands into a beautiful origami owl. We had no choice. We can't let you go running out to the woods the way you did your first night. It just isn't safe. We're responsible for you, Aunt Marta said. That's reasonable, pushing the cereal bowl across the table to me. We promised your parents we'd return you safe and sound. We don't want to lock you in, Alex, but we have to make sure. But, I sputtered. That should be the Dune Reads Goosebumps book, not our shirt. Not just like a little bitch. But, I sputtered. Every single book has that. Not the beginning ones, but every one from like 30 on. Besides, the Marlings called the police yesterday, Uncle Colin said, frowning. They what? I cried. They called the police about me? He nodded. They complained about you spying on them, he said. I let out an angry scream. That's totally stupid, I cried. I didn't spy on them. I didn't do shit. Okay. Aunt Marta came around the table and placed a comforting hand on my shoulder. Don't worry about the Marlings. Just don't go anywhere near their house. Okay? I turned to her. Are they werewolves? I blurted out. Uncle Colin gasped. Aunt Marta uttered a short laugh. Is that what Hannah told you? Hannah demanded. Well... Yes, I replied. She shook her head. Hannah has a twisted sense of humor, she said. The Marlings are just very odd, very unfriendly people, Uncle Colin told me. He glanced out the kitchen window toward their house and added, two unfriendly people with two very unfriendly dogs. Why would you have unfriendly dogs unless you're doing something shady? I got a dog, he loves people. Not so hot on dogs. Actually, that's why he doesn't go to the dog park or anything. He's kind of a dick to dogs, but he loves people. He's good with people and kids. Where's Franklin? Oh yeah, he's with Connie on the couch. Watching stuff. Hannah said they don't have any dogs, I insisted. Uncle Colin made a disgusted face. Tell your friend Hannah to stop pulling your leg. What do you mean? I asked. She's trying to scare you, Alex. Don't listen to her. The doorbell rang. Their doorbell's Dixie. I don't know why. I should ask them, but it is Dixie. Hannah had arrived to walk me to school. I was happy to get out of the house. I felt so angry about being locked up. I feel so angry. As we walked to school, I didn't tell Hannah about it. I knew she'd probably think it was funny, and she'd tell other kids about how my aunt and uncle were so worried about me. They locked me in like a baby, just like what you do with a baby, where you put them in a room and you lock the door and you leave the house and let them fend for herself like a baby. That's just good babysitting. I didn't mention the Marlings' dogs either. I didn't want to get into another argument about werewolves. I wanted to find out the truth for myself. At school, I hung my jacket in my locker and started to Mr. Sheen's class. But as I turned the corner, Sean and Arjun stepped up to block my path. They'd been waiting for me. They moved quickly to back me against the wall. Their eyes glowed with excitement. I wish my eyes glowed when I was excited. Or ever. Like Cyclops. And I could kill people with my eyes. Or not with my eyes. Just in general, I wish I could just kill people without repercussions. Hey, Alex. Sean poked me in the shoulder. See any werewolves lately? Arjun demanded. Whatever. Chapter 20. Well, I didn't know what to say. You see, my aunt and uncle, why were they staring at me like that? Were they trying to scare me? A strange grin spread over Sean's face. Have a good time in the woods last night? He asked. Yeah, how was it? Arjun demanded again. Catch any werewolves, Alex? I bumped them off me and stepped away from the wall. You mean you weren't there? I cried. They both burst out laughing. No, idiot, we're bullies, you dummy. They slapped each other a high five. Of course not. Arjun declared. Why would we go into the woods in the middle of the night? That's how you get eaten by werewolves, dingus. I was sound asleep by midnight, Sean said, grinning. They laughed and congratulated each other. It's good that they're good friends. Obviously, they're assholes to everyone else, but it's nice to have a good friend. A joke. The whole thing had been a joke. They didn't wait for me in the woods at midnight. They never intended to go to the woods. So how was it? Sean asked. Were you surprised when Arjun and I didn't show up? No, I didn't even think of you, I told them. Do you know why? Because I was too busy taking photos of the werewolf motherfucker. Ooh, ooh, oh, taking pictures. Huh? Sean cried. It was their turn to be surprised. Of course I was lying, but they had no way of knowing that I hadn't gone to the woods either. What did you see? Arjun arjaxed. Suspiciously. I followed a werewolf, I told him, forcing myself not to crack a smile. He came to the creek and he drank, just as you said. Give me a break, Sean groaned. Yeah, really? Arjun arjoled his eyes. In your dreams. I can prove it. I took a whole roll of film. A Hawaiian roll, which is the sweetest kind of roll, baby, I told them. Pixar, it didn't happen, Sean demanded. I haven't developed them yet, I replied. They stared at me, trying to decide if I was telling the truth. I felt a laugh about to explode inside me, but somehow I kept a straight face, like farting in an elevator. The bell rang.
When you wake up in the morning and the alarm keeps on alarming and you something something say by the bell.
We're late, Arjun cried. The three of us bolted down the hall to the room. We dove into our seats 2 seconds before Mr. Sheen walked in. Don't ask me what we talked about all morning. I didn't hear a word.
Oh, you might need hearing aids. I remember there was a deaf character in the first half.
I was thinking hard, thinking about Sean and Arjun. What was I going to tell them tomorrow when they asked to see the werewolf photos?
You didn't have to say shit to them, dude. They were assholes to you. Just be like, no, I'm not showing you because you didn't show up, jabronis. Bam, bam. That was the sound of one hand slapping two faces in one move.
Would I have to confess that I lied to them?
No. I decided I had a better plan.
Drinking break.
I'm gonna sneak out tonight and take pictures of the Marlins' house, I whispered into the phone.
Huh? Alex, why are you whispering?
Hannah's voice rang shrilly in my ear. I was whispering because my aunt and uncle had only one telephone, an old-fashioned black phone that sat on a table in the living room, and the two of them were in the next room preparing dinner.
Oh, that's sweet. They're like a couple. Yeah, they didn't have kids or anything, but they prepared dinner together. That's really sweet.
I could see them from the armchair I slumped in.
Hannah, I'm going to hide at the side of the house, I whispered.
Didn't you just get the cops called on you for being a creep?
And I'm going to snap some pictures of whoever,
wait for it, Goosebumps listeners, or whatever,
jumps out of that bedroom window tonight.
Do you have a sore throat or something?
Hannah demanded.
I can't hear you, Alex. I opened my mouth to repeat what I said, but Aunt Marta had entered the room.
Dinner is ready, Alex. Who are you talking to?
She asked. Hannah, I told my aunta. I've got to go, I said into the phone.
Talk to you later. I hung up the receiver. I hoped that maybe Hannah might want to sneak out at midnight and keep me company. I'll have to ask her later, I decided.
Drinking break.
Yawning, pretending to be very sleepy, I went to my room a little after 10 o'clock. A few minutes later, I heard the lock click outside my door. My aunt or uncle had locked me in again. Those jerks. But this time, I fooled them. This time, I was prepared, like a Boy Scout. Before dinner, I jammed a wad of bubblegum into the latch. The door wasn't really closed.
By the way, that's like R.L. Stein giving good advice to kids who want to commit some sort of felony. Just stick some gum in there. You can rob the local candy shop.
Once again, I pulled on an extra sweater and checked out my camera and waited.
There's a lot of and sentences,
gazing at the bed table clock. Just before midnight, I swung the camera case over my shoulder, slid the bedroom door open easily, and crept out the house under the white light of the moon, ready to solve the mystery of the Marlings.
Chapter number 21, something came up last night, so I had to go, but it's the next day and I'm already back at it.
Just had a cocktail and crack in a steel reserve because traditions are important.
I cast a quick glance at the Marlings' house. Then I turned away and trotted across the wet grass to Hannah's house. No lights were on. The storm door back hadn't been shut. The wind made it swing open as if inviting me in.
Come hither.
But I made my way up to Hannah's bedroom window on the other side of the house. Silver moonlight washed over the glass, making it reflect the trees like a mirror.
Like a mirror? That's the only thing you can come up with for reflections?
I couldn't see inside, but the window was open a few inches.
Hannah! I called out in a loud whisper. Hannah Montana, are you awake?
I heard someone stirring inside. Possibly a mouse, you know, because that stirs like that old Christmas poem. I'm just going to keep going until the Steel Reserve makes me funny again. The curtains shifted.
Who's there?
Hannah called out sleepily.
It's me, Mario,
I whispered, standing on tiptoe.
It's Alex. Come to the window.
Alex, what are you doing out there?
Hannah demanded.
I'm going to take photos of the Marlings, I told her.
Come out with me, Hannah.
Huh? Photos? She called out.
But it's so late, Alex. I was asleep and...
Every night I hear howls from their house, I told her. And then someone... Or... Drink for effect. Something jumps out of their bedroom window and runs into the woods. My uncle says it's their dogs, but...
I told you, she interrupted.
The Marlings don't have dogs. They're werewolves. I know you don't believe me, but it's true. Your aunt and uncle know it's true, but they don't want you to be scared.
That's why I want to take photos, I explained.
I mean, I could be the first person in the world to get a werewolf on film.
Wait, if werewolves are real, which means they're just people most of the time, there's probably a lot of them on film, right?
Plus you get turned into a werewolf, right? You're not born as one? Or are you in this story? I think some of the myth R.L. Stine already got wrong. It doesn't matter.
Get dressed, Hannah. Come on, I pleaded. I want you to see too.
You're crazy, Alex. Get back in the house, Hannah warned. She appeared at the window.
She pulled it up higher and higher
and leaned out. I'm not coming out there, she insisted. It's too dangerous. You told me about those two animals you saw. They were ripped to shreds, right? If the Marlings see you, they'll do the same shit to you. Rip you all up, shreddily.
Her words sent a cold shiver down the back of my neck as I pondered whether shreddily is a real word.
But I was desperate to solve the mystery and to snap a great photo.
They won't see us, I told her. We'll hide behind the bushes at the side of the house.
Don't say us, Hannah called out. I ain't your girl. I don't need no man.
I'm not doing it, Alex. I'm too scared. I'm warning you. Go back inside.
Please, I pleaded. I grabbed her arm.
Come on out, Hannah. You want to see werewolves too, don't you?
No way, she jerked her arm away.
Go home, Alex, she repeated like Tia and Tamara Mowry.
It's not a game. It's really dangerous.
Listen, Hannah, I started, but she slid the window shut.
I stared at the reflection of the trees in the glass.
Maybe she's right, I thought.
Another cold shiver ran down my back. Maybe this is a big mistake. Maybe it is too dangerous. If the Marlings catch me, ... I gasped when I heard a low growl.
Hey, if you're a werewolf, do you put on flea treatment? Because Connie and I went to Disneyland for one night, and Franklin stayed over at her mom's, where she has other dogs, and she lives somehow more country-ish than us. And Franklin got fleas, so we gave him a flea bath and put him back on Comfortis and stuff, because we didn't have him on in the winter. The point is, fleas are fucking everywhere, especially if you're traveling around doing werewolf shit at night. I bet they do have to have some sort of flea treatment, or do they just fall off once the hair grows back into their body, or does it shed off? I need to learn more about werewolves.
I gasped when I heard a low growl. I froze. I didn't have time to turn around. I knew from the sound, a werewolf. It had sneaked up behind me.
Sneaky ass werewolves.
Chapter number 22, the number so nice, they tooed it twice. Another low grunt made me cry out.
Ugh.
My knees started to collapse. I took a deep breath, shivering breath, and spun around to face the creature.
No, not there.
No one there. I swallowed. Swallowed again, like two birds flying together to San Juan Capistrano. My mouth suddenly felt bone dry.
Another growl.
I realized where it came from. From the back of the Marlings' house. They're about to jump out the window, I told myself. Those are the sounds I hear every night just before they climb out the bedroom window.
He's just listening to the neighbors growling and grunting.
And I'm standing out here in the open. I'll be the first thing they see. My legs didn't want to work.
Aw, he should get a wheelchair, that's sad.
But I gritted my teeth, took a deep breath, and forced myself to move. My sneakers slid on the wet grass. I slipped, but I didn't fall. I scrambled to the bushes that divided my aunt and uncle's house from the Marlings' house. I dropped to my knees, panting noisily. My heart pounded so hard, my chest hurt. I ducked my head. Quack! Just kidding. I grabbed the straps of my camera case. A shrill, high animal howl floated out from the Marlings' open bedroom window. It's probably just people that watch a lot of Animal Planet. The light of the moon made the side of their house gleam. The yard was nearly as bright as day. Everything glistened from the frosty dew. Ducking low behind the bushes, I could see every leaf, every dew-covered blade of grass.
Is he on mushrooms? I could see every leaf.
Everyone is important and magical, and we're all connected. I tugged at the zipper of my camera case. I knew I had to pull the camera out fast, but my hands were shaking so bad, I couldn't budge the zipper. Another owl made me turn back to the window. A shadow moved. A leg slid out, another leg. A slender drop formed. A slender form.
Motherfucker, Steel Reserve.
Another leg. A slender form dropped to the ground. It all happened so quickly, as if time had been put on fast forward.
Hey, if you're listening to this podcast at like 1.5 times or whatever, you knock that off. You gotta get the nuance of my pacing.
My eyes on the window, I struggled to unzip the camera case. Another body crawled out from the darkness of the Marlings' bedroom window. Two forms stood on the ground and stretched. Two humans. Not wolves. Humans. What were they wearing? Capes?
Oh, that's probably the werewolf skin.
Dark fur capes draped over their shoulders, hanging heavily behind them. They had their backs to me. I couldn't see their faces. Hands on their waist, they stretched, bending back, bending from side to side, as if limbering up their muscles for a long jog.
Do you really have to stretch before you jog? Because I don't like to do that. I like to stretch after, but I don't think that helps. Is it important to stretch? I'm not going to Google this now because I'm going to keep reading Goosebumps.
And then they raised their heads to the moon and howled.
Oh!
Turn around, I pleaded silently, trembling behind the bushes.
Just like Chaney, am I right?
Please turn around. I want to see your faces. Oh, I uttered a startled moan as their fur capes began to move. The heavy capes began to curl around them, to tighten around their bodies, just like Venom, the symbiote, does over, you know, Brock and Spider-Man and like 50 other people now. And I realized they weren't capes. They were some kind of animal skins. Furry skins, with arms and legs. Oh no, they're gonna yiff! The dark skins wrapped themselves tightly over the two humans. The fur spread over their bodies, slid over their heads, and covered their legs, their arms, their hands. Oh! I shook so hard, I let go of the camera case and hugged myself.
You guys should all hug yourself right now. You deserve a hug. You know, you work hard. You're stressed out. Just give yourself a hug. Right? Franklin, give me a hug. I'm stressed out.
Hugged myself tight, trying to hold myself in, trying to keep myself together. The two figures howled again, raising their furry arms over their heads. Silvery claws slid out from their paws.
I like when they rhyme.
The two creatures raked the claws at each other playfully, pretending to attack. Growling and grunting, they lowered themselves to all fours.
That just sounds like bad, bad Twilight fan fiction.
The two creatures raked their claws at each other playfully, pretending to attack. Growling and grunting, they lowered themselves to all fours. No longer humans. Animals. Wolf creatures. Hannah is right, I realized. She told the truth. The Marlings are werewolves. They turned into wolves under the moonlight. Gasping for breath, I snatched up the camera case. I fumbled once again with the zipper. Finally, managed to pull it open. Yeah, he fumbled just like the team who just lost the Super Bowl, am I right? Yeah, that one? I went to my parents for the Super Bowl and I made chicken wings. And then I was like, all right, game's on, I'm heading out. And then I went home. It was tight. And they turned. They both turned toward me. Two wolves. Wolveses. Their dark eyes stared out from beneath fur-covered foreheads. Their furry snouts snapped open to reveal rows of curled animal teeth. Werewolves. The Marlings were werewolves.
It's weird when you look at the words, because it's like the Marlings were werewolves, you know, because were was there before it, you know. It's just weird to see were twice, but that's not how you pronounce it. I do that. I got it right.
Human and wolf at the same time. The werewolves nuzzled each other.
Ooh, maybe they're just vegan werewolves and they're just into just hanging out.
Growling softly, I raised the camera. I pulled myself up to my knees. I've got to snap a picture. Do it now, Alex, I ordered myself. But my hands shook so badly.
Have some 211. It'll calm me down.
I wasn't sure I could hold the camera steady enough. Do it. Do it. I raised the viewfinder to my eye. I stood up a little higher to see over the top of the bush. Oh! As I raised myself, a sharp twig scraped the side of my face, and I dropped the camera.
Really, R.L. Stein? That's what's going on? Like, he was defeated by a twig that scraped his face? I feel like he should have come up with something else.
It landed on the grass with a thud. The two wolf creatures turned and saw me.
I'm going to keep reading because I got to get this shit done.
Chapter number 23. Double checking that it's recording. It is. I sank to the ground, pressing myself flat on my stomach. My chest heaved.
Ooh. Alex is very bosomy.
I breathe through my mouth. Ooh, Alex is a mouth breather. Struggling to keep perfectly still. Perfectly silent. Did they see me?
Did they?
I raised my head enough to peer out at them beneath the bottom branch of the bush. They had their fur-covered snouts raised. They sniffed the air. Did they smell me? Did they know I was hiding down here? Were they about to leap into the bush and rip me apart with those long, silvery claws? I held my breath, squinting across the grass at them. They sniffed some more, grunting softly. Then they turned away, dropped to all fours, and loped off, heading to the woods. I waited until I could no longer hear the soft thud of their paws or their low growls and grunts. Then I slid forward on my stomach like someone in the army, but he's probably a little bit tubby, so he's just like rolling around like a caterpillar without legs. Is that an image that's making sense to people? Reached out and grabbed my camera. My camera! I hadn't snapped any photos. Not a single shot.
It's a bummer that he doesn't have like a cell phone camera. It's weird to me because I really dig like Bigfoot. And reading about Bigfoot and Bigfoot stories and UFOs and shit. But it is suspicious, the fact that ever since everyone carried an HD camera around, there's no good Bigfoot footage and there's no good UFO footage. You know, we just gotta appreciate that the world's magical on its own without rad... What am I? Cryptozoology? Creatures? Crypto? Creatures? Cryptography?
Anyway, I don't know what point I'm getting at here. I guess I'm just saying that, hey, let's not focus on Bigfoot and just focus on how rad dolphins are. I climbed shakily to my feet and rubbed the wet dew from the lens. Then I raised my eyes to the woods. I have to follow them, I decided. I have to take some photos. This is the chance of a lifetime. What, you said it happens every night. If I can take the first ever shots of actual werewolves, I'll be famous. You know all those famous photographers, Ansel Adams, the guy from American Apparel, that's like weird, Terry Richardson. All right, well, that's it for famous photographers. I'll be famous. I pictured myself in newspapers and on magazine covers. Why would you be on the covers rather than your photograph? I imagined my photos of the Marlings on display in fancy photo galleries. And I thought of how proud of me Uncle Colin and Aunt Marta would be. That thought sent a chill down my back. You gotta get that back checked out. It's very susceptible to chills. Uncle Colin and Aunt Marta, they were working in the woods right now, busy photographing animals of the night. Did they know that two werewolves were on the loose? Did they know that two werewolves were prowling the woods, searching for victims? They're not safe out there, I realized. Of course, following the werewolves into the woods was crazy and dangerous, but now I had two reasons to chase after them. I had to snap some photos and warn my aunt and uncle. My eyes on the woods, I jammed the camera into the case and slung it over my shoulder, as if I was an Asian person going to Disneyland. Then I began trotting across the backyard toward the trees, following the fresh paw prints in the frosty grass. I ducked into the trees and followed the curving path. Moonlight trickled through the treetop leaves, making eerie, shifting patterns on the ground. Damn, I'm good at reading Goosebumps. I haven't done it in a while, but man, I am really good at this. I didn't have to go far to catch up with the two werewolves, just past the bend, where Pocahontas sings. Old Man Tree, I heard an animal grunt, and then a shrill cry of attack. I stopped and peered through a low evergreen shrub. How do you know it's evergreen, bitch? What, you here all year? I thought you were just staying with your fucking aunt and uncle for a little bit of time. Maybe that shrub molts its leaves. Don't be just willy-nilly calling things evergreen, jabroni. Mouths gaping open, claws raised, the two wolf creatures leaped. They've caught someone, I realized, frozen in horror. Who is it? My aunt? My uncle? So I was giving my voice a rest in between chapters and just Google Dune Reads Goosebumps and LibriVox? I don't know what it is. Point is, it's some sort of platform for free, or maybe you pay for some audiobooks. And man, people fucking hate me on there. Like, I think it's someone submitted it, or maybe they just found it and added it. I don't know how it's on there, but I didn't put it there, and I think it's a service or app or website that's meant specifically to be straightforward audiobooks rather than whatever the fuck I do. But man, people are fucking angry. So if you're listening to this, fucking eat dick. Dune rules.
Chapter 24.
The two werewolves wrestled with their prey. A lot of people wrestle with praying, you know? They need to find God, Kevin Goswan. I heard a shrill bleat of pain. Then I saw four hooves shoot up in the air. Not a human, I realized, squinting into the dim light. They've trapped a deer. A baby deer. Far, long way to run. Oh, by the way, the reviews are like, they called me homophobic, which I'm like, what? Am I homophobic? I guess I just yelled eat dick, so maybe that is, but I feel like I'm a chill person. And also they're like, yeah, he thinks he can sing. Oh, I know I can't sing. All right, sorry, I'm going to focus.
They're going to kill it. They're going to tear it to shreds.
What can I do? I asked myself. How can I save it? I didn't think. I was too terrified to think clearly. I tossed back my head and let out a loud wolf howl. My cry echoed off the trees. The snarling werewolves stopped their attack. They raised their heads. They turned toward my cry, just long enough for the fawn to scramble to its feet. It shook itself like a dog after a bath and took off into the trees. The werewolf sniffed the air furiously. They didn't seem to notice that the fawn had escaped. Their eyes glowed red in the pale moonlight. They turned, uttering low, angry growls, lowered their heads, and came charging at me.
Ooh, keep reading. That was a short one.
Also, who cares what I'm drinking? Everyone cares what I'm drinking. If you drink the same thing at the same time, I've said this before, we have the same flavor in our mouth, and it's like we can totally relate to each other, you know? It's an emotional thing where we have to connect as a species and stop trying to separate. I'm this, I'm that, I'm in this group, I'm in that group, I hate this guy. We're all just brothers and sisters, just trying to drink malt liquor and have good times making dick jokes over children's books. Chapter number 25. I staggered back, too frightened to move. No time to run. The ground seemed to shake under the thunder of the wolves' paws. I opened my mouth to scream, but no sound came out. Like the much better book with a similar name. The wolves' jaws snapped. Their eyes glowed as if on fire. I raised my arms in front of me as if to shield myself, prepared for the attack. And the wolves turned away, turned sharply to the right, running together. Ooh, they're like Zoolander, they can only turn right. A scrawny brown rabbit scrambled over the path. The wolves had turned away from me to chase the rabbit. Ooh, I think that's the pop version of chasing the dragon. It's just kind of harmless. Snarling furiously, they lowered their heads and caught the rabbit easily. Ah, poor bunny. The little creature didn't put up much of a fight. One wolf snapped its neck. Aw. The other one bit hungrily into its belly. Oh, this is bumming me out. Breathing hard, I swung my camera case around and pulled the camera out with a quick jerk. My hand trembled as I raised the viewfinder to my eye, but I steadied the camera with both hands and clicked off a shot, and then another. Bow, bow! I snapped a shot of the wolves tugging the rabbit apart and another shot of the two of them eating side by side. How is this a werewolf picture? You gotta get pictures of the transition. If not, it's just pictures of wolves eating a rabbit, which is tight and I'd look at them, but it's not like, you know, revolutionary. When the wolves finished, nothing remained of the rabbit. What about the lucky rabbit's foot? Licking their teeth, they turned and loped off into the trees. Holding my camera in front of me with both hands, I followed after them. I guess I was in some kind of shock. I know I wasn't thinking clearly. I was barely thinking at all. That makes two of us. I had nearly been caught by the two werewolves. They would have finished me the way they finished that poor rabbit. That rabbit probably didn't even get any tricks. But I knew I had to follow them. I had to stay in the woods. I had to warn my aunt and uncle. I had to find them and tell them they were wrong about the Marlings, that Hannah told the truth. I had to let them know the danger they were in. And I had to take more photographs. I'd been through such a horrible scare. My heart pounded and my arms and legs felt all trembly and weak. I didn't feel like me. I felt as if I were outside myself, watching myself. Ooh. I just had a long conversation about that with Connie. What's that called when you... Astral projection. Yeah. But I can't... even if other people could actually do that, I couldn't do anything because I can't picture things. Which I've also found out is called aphantasia. PH on the Fantasia. Which it means you can't visualize things in your mind. Apparently 2% of the population it affects. That's good to know. But I knew I couldn't run back to the house, not until my aunt and uncle were safe.
I kept pretty far behind the creatures, far enough that I could slip behind a tree or bush if one of them glanced back, and I kept my camera raised, ready to snap off shots. They loped slowly to the creek. I watched them lower their heads and noisily lap up water. They didn't look at all human now. Their bodies had become wolf bodies. Ooh, like Danzig apparently does. I think I mentioned Danzig before. Whatever. I couldn't see anything human in their faces. Their glowing eyes were animal eyes. They took a long drink from the creek. Ah, they're getting microbes in there. They're going to get Rhea in the morning when they're humans. Washing down their dinner, I guess. I steadied my camera and clicked off several shots. Click, 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 clicking off shots. I wished Hannah had come with me. I wanted someone else to be there with me to see what I was seeing. Ah, they want Snapchat to exist already. By the way, I don't use Snapchat. I have one, but I don't get it. People send them to me, and then, like, I forget to look at them, and then I just don't ever see them. It doesn't make sense to me, especially with Instagram video stuff. I can only handle so many social things. God, I'm in my 30s. Or I guess I'm 30, but still, that's in 30s. I couldn't wait to get back and tell her that she was right about the Marlings, that they really were werewolves. The two wolf creatures suddenly raised their heads from the water, turned, and sniffed the air. Did they smell me or some other prey? I slid behind a fat tree trunk and held my breath. By the way, trees can be healthy at any size, okay? It wasn't a fat tree trunk, okay? Leave it alone. When I carefully peered out, they were loping along the creek shore. I waited until they had gone a short distance. Then I crept out and followed them. By the way, my last comment just reminded me again. Really? Homophobic? Me? Like, I make fun of everyone for everything. That's fine, right? I got gay friends. I followed the two werewolves all night. I finished one roll of film, then popped in another. I shot them rising up on their furry hind legs and howling at the moon. Howl! And I clicked off several more horrifying shots of them devouring small animals. Ew, you shouldn't be clicking off to people devouring small animals. That's gross. You got a serious fetish issue. And I searched for my aunt and uncle, desperate to warn them, to tell them what I had learned. As I trailed behind the creatures, so frightened and excited, I completely lost track of time. It was as if we were walking through a dream. None of it seemed real. Was that the My Little Pony theme I was just singing? Finally, a red crack of sunlight appeared along the ground. To my shock, it was nearly daybreak. The werewolves moved slowly now. Their loping trot had become a stiff-legged walk. Ooh, they doing that stanky leg. Maybe even the Humpty Dance. As they stepped out of the trees into their backyard, they rose up onto their hind legs. They staggered awkwardly to the back of their house. We've all had those nights, you know? Uber drops you off and you just kind of stumble away. I get it. I stayed by the trees, afraid to go too close. The sky was brightening as the sun made its way higher and higher. If the wolf creatures turned around, don't turn around, just singing songs, they could see me easily. I raised my camera. I only had a few shots left. The two werewolves staggered on two legs to the side of their house. They stretched their furry forearms and raised their faces to the brightening sun. Oh, I couldn't help it. I uttered a shocked cry as they began to shed their skins. The fur appeared to peel back. Man, I wish that happened to me, but instead I had to go get laser back hair removal because I'm Italian and that bums me out. The claws slid out of view and the fur pulled back, revealing their human hands. I just gestured with my hands so you would understand what they look like, but clearly you know what hands look like. As I gaped in amazement, the black wolf fur peeled off their arms and legs, then slid off their bodies. They had their backs to me. The fur skins settled into the capes again. The two humans reached up and pulled off the heavy capes.
I'm going to see the Marlings for the first time, I realized. They lowered the wolfskin capes to the ground. They turned slowly, and I saw their fucking faces.
Chapter number 26.
Y'all know I was lying, right? I totally can sing. As the morning sunlight washed over their faces, I nearly cried out in horror and disbelief. Uncle Colin and Aunt Marta stretched, brushed back their silvery hair, then bent to pick up their wolf skins. My aunt and uncle? They were the werewolves? Say what? That is a twist, R.L. Stine. Damn, boy, you so good. Uncle Colin raised his eyes to the woods. I fell back behind a tree. Did he see me? Nah. My whole body trembled. I wanted to cry out, no, no, this can't be happening, with Ari Shaffir, but I pressed myself against the tree and kept my jaws clamped tight. I couldn't let them see me. I couldn't let them know I knew the truth. The smooth tree trunk felt cool against my forehead. It's probably like eucalyptus or something. That's a smooth trunk. I had to think. I had to make a plan. What should I do? I knew I couldn't stay with them any longer. I couldn't live in a house with two fucking werewolves. But where could I go? Who would help me? Who would believe me? Justin. Justin would. I'm kidding. He said believe. I watched my aunt and uncle fold up their werewolf skins. Then Uncle Colin helped Aunt Marta climb into the Marlings' bedroom window. Once she was inside, he followed her in. The Marlings, I murmured to myself. Were they okay in there, or did my aunt and uncle do something terrible to them? A few minutes later, Uncle Colin and Aunt Marta climbed back out of the window. Then they scurried across the driveway into their own house. I clung to the tree trunk for a while, like an adorable little koala bear, riddled with syphilis and dumb as hell. Watching the two houses, thinking hard. Were the Marlings asleep in their house? Did they know that the two werewolves were in there? Were the Marlings werewolves too? I wanted to run away. To make my way to the street and just keep running until I was miles and miles away. But I had to find out about the Marlings. I couldn't leave without finding out the truth about them. So I watched the two houses for a while longer. No sign of anyone moving about. I pushed myself away from the tree and quickly made my way through the Marlings' overgrown backyard. I ducked behind the bushes, quack, 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 and kept my eyes on my aunt and uncle's house, quack, quack. The blinds on their bedroom windows were shut, quack. Holding my breath, I darted to the Marlings' bedroom window. I grabbed the windowsill and peered inside, dark. I couldn't see anything. Here goes. Here goes what? I murmured softly. Good luck, Alex. I lifted myself up onto the sill, then lowered my legs into the room. It took a few seconds for my eyes to adjust to the dim light. Ooh, that's my favorite Chinese dish. And then what I saw shocked me nearly as much as learning that my aunt and uncle were werewolves. I saw nothing. The bedroom was completely bare. Not a stick of furniture, no artwork or mirrors on the wall, no carpet over the dust-covered floorboards. Turning to the bedroom door, I spotted two wolf skins. They were neatly folded and piled side by side in front of the closet. That's not how you use closets. You gotta put the stuff inside that you're gonna wear, idiot. Taking a deep breath, I moved cautiously to the open doorway as Dune spit onto the monitor and had to wipe it off so he could read the words. I poked my head out into the hall, also unlit and bare. Hey, yo, this club is unlit and bare. Anyone home? I choked out in a tiny voice. Hello? Anyone home? Silence. I crept down the hall toward the front of the house. I peered into each room. They were all bare and empty and bad and bougie, covered with a thick layer of dust. I stepped into the middle of the living room. No furniture, no lights, no sign that anyone had lived here in years. Oh, wow,
I cried out as I realized the truth. My voice echoed off the bare walls. No one lives here, I told myself. There are no Marlings. How do you explain Bob Marling and Ziggy Marling? I'm kidding. And I say, hey, what a wonderful kind of day. The theme from Arthur's one of my favorite songs, and we should listen to it together, but I don't want a copyright violation. My aunt and uncle had made them up. They used this house to hide their wolf skins. They'd made up the Marlings to keep people out of the house. No Marlings, no Marlings, no Marlings. It was all a lie. I have to warn Hannah, I decided. No one is safe around here. I pictured my aunt and uncle devouring that helpless little rabbit last night. I pictured them wrestling with that baby deer. I have to tell Hannah and her family, I decided. And then we have to run away from here as fast as we can. I turned and made my way quickly. I'm an idiot. Let's do this again. I turned and made my way quickly through the empty house. Then I lowered myself out of the bedroom window into the backyard. The morning sun was still a red ball. Legolas announced that blood had been shed the night before, low over the treetops. The early dew glistened over the grass. Hannah, I hope you're awake, I murmured. If not, I'll have to wake you up. I turned away from the Marlings' window and began to run across the backyard toward Hannah's house. I went about 6 or 7 steps. Then I stopped with a gasp as Aunt Marta's voice rang out behind me. Alex, what on earth are you doing out there? Chapter number 27. I spun around. My knees nearly collapsed the ground, tilted up. Then down. Ooh, he's tripping balls. Aunt Marta stood in the kitchen doorway. Alex, why are you up so early? It's Saturday morning. She narrowed her eyes at me suspiciously. Apparently she'd never heard of Saturday morning cartoons, which I don't think are a thing anymore because Netflix. I was shaking so hard I couldn't speak. Where are you going in such a hurry? My aunt demanded. I saw Uncle Colin standing behind her in the kitchen. To Hannah's? I managed to reply. To talk about our costumes for trick-or-treating tonight? I watched her face. Did she believe me? I didn't think so. It's too early to be running over to Hannah's, she scolded. She motioned for me to come inside. Come on over, Alex. Come get some breakfast first. I hesitated. My mind whirred. Should I make a run for it? Run to the street and keep going? How far could I get before they caught me? My aunt and uncle were both werewolves. If they caught me, what would they do to me? Would I be their breakfast? No. I decided not to run. I'm not Ronnie. Not just yet, anyway. Not until I had a chance to talk to Hannah. I felt Aunt Marta's eyes on me as I made my way slowly into the house. Uncle Colin muttered, good morning. Good morrow! Apparently he's Amish now. He stared hard at me. Early start, huh? He asked softly, axing me softly with his questions. I nodded and took my place at the breakfast table. Marta and I worked all night, Uncle Colin reported. He yawned. We took some pretty good shots. That's a lie, I wanted to shout. I followed you. I saw what you did. I know what you are, you fucking werewolf piece of shit. But I didn't say anything. Just stared down at my cereal bowl. I'm having breakfast with 2 werewolves, I thought, feeling my stomach churn. Oh, that's that Rhea again. My aunt and uncle run through the woods at night, murdering and ripping animals apart. I don't think murder is technically, you know, a term used for killing animals. They're just hunting them, right? But then again, death for no reason is murder. I can't sit here another minute, I told myself. I started to get up. So he does have Rhea. But I felt Uncle Colin's hand on my shoulder. Relax, Alex. Have a nice breakfast, he said softly and stumbly. But
I didn't know what to say. I was too terrified to eat. I wanted him to take his hand off me.
Yeah, if you have an uncle that you want to take his hand off you, you should tell an adult.
It was making my whole body tremble.
It's Halloween, Uncle Colin said.
You'll be out late tonight.
Have a good breakfast, Aunt Martha chimed in.
They watched me as I choked down my cornflakes. They didn't smile. They were studying me coldly. They knew that I followed them, I decided. They know that I know their secret. They're not going to let me get away.
I got to go to Hannah's now, I said, struggling to sound calm and cheerful.
I slid my chair back and started to stand up, but I felt Uncle Colin's hand grip my shoulder again. He grasped me tightly and held on.
Alex, come with me, he ordered. Come, my nephew, come, my nephew. You'll be a werewolf, sugar baby.
What was that band called? Like Crazy Park? Lincoln Town? Whatever. They sucked.
Chapter number 28. He kept his hand clamped tightly on my shoulder. Clamps! Clamps! As he led me back to the back of the garage, he walked quickly and didn't say a word. Jesus, I shouldn't be saying words. I wondered if I could break out of his grip and make a run for it. How far would I get? How far you'll go? God, I love Moana. Moana might be my favorite movie ever. God, so good. He let go of my shoulder. What did he plan to do?
I'm sorry I followed you, I said in a choked whisper. I won't tell anyone what you saw.
He hadn't heard me.
I guess he doesn't have the hearing of a dog, right, Franklin? Don't look up at me like that. I'm saying, like, you're a dog and you hear
Oh, go back to sleep, jabroni. He hadn't heard me. He had moved to the corner of the garage and picked up a long-handled tool. He shoved it toward me. I need your help this morning, he said. There's a lot of yard work to be done. I swallowed. Yard work? Uncle Colin, Dunn nodded. That's a weed whacker. Have you ever used one before?
I've done like heck of weed, but I've never whacked it. Well, I've whacked it on weed, but that's not what you're talking about, is it?
Not really, I confessed. The handle shook in my hand.
That's why they call it a handle, or I guess not the shaking. Never mind.
It's pretty easy, he said. I need you to cut down all these weeds behind the garage.
Yeah, okay, I replied, feeling dazed.
And be careful not to toss any weeds in the Marlings' yard, he warned. I'm sure they'll be watching your every move, waiting to complain to us about you.
No problem, I replied.
There are no Marlings, I wanted to scream, like Michael Jackson and Janet Jackson's hit single.
I'll work with you, Uncle Colin said, wiping sweat off his forehead with the back of his hand.
Together, we can teach these weeds a lesson they'll never forget.
I think weeds are capable of forgetting anything, am I right, marijuana?
He grinned for the first time that morning. Does he know that I know? I wondered. Is that why he's keeping me here this morning?
Drinking break.
My uncle and I worked in the yard all day. Whenever I would take a short break, I'd catch him watching me coldly, studying me. I was so frightened. I wanted to drop my tools and run, but I couldn't leave without warning Hannah and her family. They had to know that they were in danger, too. That's very sweet of him. I didn't see Hannah until after dinner. She burst in just as we were finishing.
Well, how do I look? She demanded. God, women so insecure, am I right?
Oh, you look fantastic. You're very sexually appealing.
She did a fast twirl in her ragdoll costume. You look wonderful, Aunt Martha gushed, like the popular fruit snack. Hannah frowned at me. Alex, where's your costume? Come on, you're not ready to trick-or-treat?
It's upstairs, I told her. It won't take me long to get it together. Come help me, okay?
I practically pulled her all the way to my room. It's a great night out, she said. Perfect for trick-or-treating. The night of the full moon. I tugged her into the room and shut the door behind us. We've got a problem,
I told her. She fiddled with the rag hat that flopped down over her forehead.
Problem? Like the troll character that the kids wear on t-shirts?
Yeah, Uncle Colin and Aunt Marta are werewolves.
Huh?
Her eyes bulged.
What did you say?
I explained everything, speaking rapidly in a low whisper. I told her all the scene last night. They hide their werewolf skins in the Marlings' house, I finished. But the Marlings?
Hannah started.
There are no Marlings, I cried. The house is empty. My aunt and uncle use it as a hiding place for their wolf skins. Hannah stared at me, open-mouthed for a long time. Her chin trembled. But what are we going to do? She cried breathlessly. Your aunt and uncle, they seem like such nice people. They've always been so nice to me.
They're werewolves, bitch, I cried. We have to tell your family. We have to hurry away from here. We have to get help. Tell the police or something.
Ah, nah, dog, that's snitching. But, Hannah sputtered, her face twisted in panic. And suddenly, I had another idea. Wait, I cried. Hannah, what did Mr. Sheen say about werewolves shedding their skin? Did he say that if someone finds their skins and burns them, that the werewolves will be destroyed?
Hannah nodded. Yes, that's what he said, but it's so weird. They have a very werewolf-specific class going on in the school in the town with werewolves.
So that's what we'll do, I cried excitedly. We'll go next door and...
But you don't want to kill your aunt and uncle, do you? Hannah replied.
Oh, no. Of course not. I told her I'm so frightened. I'm not thinking clearly. I just thought, whoa.
Wait a minute, Alex, Hannah cried, grabbing my arm.
I know what we can do. I have a plan that might work.
Chapter number 29, I'm now drinking a Miller High Life, even though I'm trying not to drink beer lately.
I heard my aunt and uncle moving around in the living room. Outside the bedroom window, the white full moon was rising behind the trees. Wisps of black cloud floated over it like wriggling snakes.
That's what snakes sound like when they're wriggling.
Hannah tugged me farther into the room. What if we hide the wolf skins? She asked in an excited whisper.
Hide them? I whispered back. What will that do?
Your aunt and uncle won't be able to find them, Hannah replied,
you know, explaining what hiding means.
The night will pass. They won't be able to change into wolves. So maybe if they go a whole night without the skins, it will cure them. I cried, not knowing werewolf science.
Hannah nodded. It's worth a try, Alex. It might just work, and...
She stopped. No, wait. I have an even better idea. We'll wear the skins.
Excuse me? I gasped. Wear them? Why?
Because your aunt and uncle will search everywhere for the skins, Hannah replied. They'll search every house, every garage, every yard, every outhouse, every porta potty, every hole in the ground you poop in, every just spot in the ground that you might poop in without digging a hole because you're in a hurry. But they won't look for them on us. That's the last place they'd look.
I get it, I replied,
and we'll make sure to stay away so they don't see us until after daybreak. I wasn't sure whether the plan made any sense or not. Hannah and I were both too frightened to think. Maybe, just maybe, we could cure Aunt Colin and Aunt Marta by keeping the skins from them until morning.
Let's try it, I said.
Okay, Hannah agreed. Quick, get into your pirate costume. We don't want your aunt and uncle to suspect anything. While you're doing that, I'll sneak next door and slip on one of the wolf skins. She pushed me toward the old clothes I had tossed onto the bed. Hurry, it's getting late. Meet me in the back of the garage. I'll bring out your wolf skin for you. Hannah disappeared out the door. I heard her in the living room. She said goodbye to Uncle Colin and Aunt Marta and told them that she was going to go meet me outside.
She's probably getting a smoke or something like 12-year-old girls do.
I heard the front door slam. Slam a Montana! Slam a Montana!
Hannah was on her way next door to get the wolf skins. I quickly pulled on the ragged old shirt and torn trousers of my costume. I wrapped a bandana around my head, because that's never looked good on anyone ever for any reason. A sound at the bedroom door made me spin around. "Aunt Marta," I cried. She stood in the doorway, frowning at me. "It won't work," she said, shaking her head. "Huh?" I gasped. "Alex, it won't work," she repeated unhappily.
Chapter number 30, that's how old I am. Let's figure out what won't work. My aunt moved quickly into the room. I couldn't move. No time to try and escape. "It won't work. That costume won't work." Ah, a twist, R.L. Stine, I should have called it. Aunt Marta said, shaking her head, "You need some makeup, some black stains on your face, something to make you look less clean." I burst out laughing. I thought Marta had overheard our plan, but she only wanted to improve my pirate costume by stabbing me in the fucking eye so I needed a patch. I kid. It took several minutes for my aunt to apply the makeup. Whoop whoop. Then she searched several drawers until she found a gold hoop earring, which she clipped on one ear. "There, much better," she said, grinning. "Now hurry, Hannah's waiting for you." I thanked her and hurried out. Hannah was waiting for me, behind the garage, already in a wolf skin. I gasped when I saw her. It was so strange seeing Hannah's eyes peering out from above a fur-covered snout. Oh, these furries, they are suspicious. "What took you so long?" Hannah demanded. Her voice was muffled inside the furry wolf head. I didn't add furry. "It was there, baby," Aunt Marta replied. "She had to fix up my cost." Oh, wait. Aunt Marta replied. Aunt Marta didn't reply. "Aunt Marta," I replied. "She had to fix up my costume." I narrowed my eyes at Hannah. "How does it feel in there?" "Very itchy," she grumbled, "and hot. Here." She handed me the other wolf skin. Oh, what if he puts on the girl wolf skin and he becomes a girl wolf? And then, like, he's permanently a wolf and all these dude wolves, like, do it in him. And then they make baby wolves and he has to, like, raise them because of his instincts. And he has to love the baby wolves and protect them. But then human hunters come and try to kill the baby wolves. And then he's the mother and he goes, "No!" And he dives in front of the bullet shot. And it's really depressing. What if that happens? "Hurry, put it on. The moon is already high. Your aunt and uncle will be looking for these soon." I took the skin from her. My hand sank into the thick fur. I unfolded it and held it up. "Here goes," I whispered. Is that really the saying? This is the second time it said it in this episode. "Here goes." And it says it in other ones. Isn't it "here it goes" or "here I go" or something? Not "here goes." Fuck that. I whispered. I said I wanted to be a werewolf for Halloween. Guess I get my wish. "Just hurry," Hannah urged. "We don't want them to catch us." I pulled the wolf skin over my head, down over the old clothes of my costume. It felt a little tight. I bet it's pretty tight to be a werewolf, especially the furry legs. The face fit snugly over my face. "You're right. It's itchy," I groaned. "It's so tight, I'm not sure I can walk." "It loosens up after a bit," Hannah whispered. "Come on, let's get away from here." She led the way across the backyard. Then we turned and trotted along the side of her house and down the street. I heard voices in the next block. Kids shouting, "Trick or treat, smell my meat. I'll give you something to eat, idiot." "We might be safer with other kids," I suggested. "I mean, if we find a whole group and stick with it." "Good idea," Hannah replied. We crossed the street. It was already getting really hot inside my wolfskin. I could feel the sweat running down my forehead. We walked for several blocks, but most of the kids were younger than us. We didn't find anyone good to hang out with. We turned a corner and walked several more blocks into the next neighborhood. How do you know it's the next neighborhood? What's the cutoff point? Maybe a large street with a street light?
Hey, look who's there, Hannah declared, bumping my arm. I followed her gaze and saw a mummy and a robot carrying trick-or-treat bags across someone's front lawn. It's Sean and Arjun, Hannah cried. Let's trick-or-treat with them, I suggested. I began running across the grass, waving my paw at them. Hey, you guys! They turned and stared at us. Wait up, I called through my fur-covered snout. They screamed and dropped their bags and took off running full speed, shrieking for help. Hannah and I stopped at the edge of the driveway and watched them. Think maybe we, scared them? Hannah said, laughing. Maybe a little, I replied. We both laughed. But not for long. I heard heavy, running footsteps on the pavement behind us. I turned and let out a gasp as my aunt and uncle came running furiously down the street. There they are, Uncle Colin cried, pointing at us. Get them.
Chapter number 31.
I froze for a moment. Who is he? Elsa? I haven't seen Frozen and don't really understand what it's about. Never mind. But Moana! Goddamn, I love Moana.
Horrified by the sight of my aunt and uncle running towards us so furiously, so desperately. Don't move, Aunt Marta pleaded. We need those skins. My legs refused to budge. But then Hannah gave me a hard shove and we both took off. We ran wildly like Phoebe from Friends across lawns and empty lots. We cut behind someone's house, then dove through an opening in their tall hedge. My aunt and uncle stayed close behind, running full speed and calling out as they ran. Give us our skins! Give us our skins! Their breathless voices rang in my ears. Their words became an eerie chant. Give us our skins. Give us our skins. I set that beer down too hard. Now it's foaming up. Let me make sure it doesn't foam over. Fuck, I just had a creepy deja vu. I chipped my front tooth. Not super noticeably. The dentist just shaved it down, but I chipped it barely on a Miller High Life bottle years ago. And that's what I have right here, and it's foaming up. And the reason I did it is because it was about to foam over, and I shoved it in my mouth really quickly when I was like, I don't know, 18, 19, and chipped my front tooth. Yeah, I'm glad I haven't done that again. Anyway, give us our skins, give us our skins. That's the chant. We must have run for blocks. It became a dark blur to me. My heavy wolf paws thudded the ground. I struggled to keep my balance like slug from atmosphere. Sweat poured down my face inside the heavy fur. Another turn, more dark backyards, and then the tilting, tangled trees of the woods rose up in front of us. Hannah and I dove into the woods, darting between the trees and tall weeds, and still my aunt and uncle came after us, chanting their desperate plea, give us our skins, give us our skins. We scrambled up a low hill lined with evergreens. Once again, how do you know they're evergreens? Pine cones slid under my heavy paws and rolled down the hill. Ooh, paws, maybe he's becoming a werewolf. Hannah stumbled and dropped to her knees. She scrambled on all fours to the top. I'm not going to make a joke, because that's a child. Give us our skins. Give us our skins. The cry grew shrill and breathless, and then suddenly, everything seemed to stop, as if the whole world had stopped spinning, as if the wind had stopped blowing on top of that little hill. I could feel the silence. Uncle Colin and Aunt Marta had stopped their chant. Panting, Hannah and I turned to face them. The moon. Did I say the boon? The moon, Hannah whispered breathlessly to me. She pointed. The full moon, Alex. It's so high. It must be at its peak. And as she whispered those words, my aunt and uncle dropped to their knees. They tossed back their heads. As the white light of the moon washed over their faces, I saw their pain, their horror. They opened their mouths in long, mournful howls. How-woo! Their howls became hideous screams. How-woo! Wow, this I'm screaming out!
they tore at their hair with both hands. They shut their eyes and screamed, screamed in agony. "Hannah, what have we done?" I cried.
Chapter number 32. There's a fat, hairless cat on my lap who was yelling to be up in my lap but ran away.
Tugging at their hair, my aunt and uncle screamed, and then they lowered their hands and closed their mouths, and a calm seemed to sweep over them. As Hannah and I stared down at them, Uncle Colin and Aunt Marta helped each other to their feet. They brushed each other off, smoothed down their hair. When they finally gazed up at us, I saw tears in their eyes. "Thank you," they both cried. "Thank you for saving us," Uncle Colin exclaimed. And then they rushed up the hill to hug us so joyfully. It's a joyful hug from your aunt and uncle, nothing weird about it, it's a joyful hug. "You freed us from the curse," Aunt Marta declared, tears running down her face. "The moon reached the highest point in the sky and we didn't transform. Colin and I are no longer werewolves." "How can we ever thank you?" Uncle Colin cried. "You are both so wonderful, so brave."
"So hot," I grumbled. "I can't wait to get out of this itchy skin."
Everyone laughed. "Let's go back to our house," Aunt Marta cried. "We have..." And then she just stumbled like an idiot for a while. Unlike me, who read it perfectly. "We'll have a real celebration." The four of us hurried back to the house. We laughed and joked all the way. Uncle Colin and Aunt Marta made their way in through the kitchen door.
"Homemade donuts," Aunt Marta promised, "and big mugs of hot chocolate. How's that sound?"
"Sounds great,"
Hannah and I agreed. Hannah started to follow them into the house, but I held her back. "Let's dump the skins next door," I said. "No one will ever need them again. Let's dump them in the abandoned house and then burn it down 8 Mile style." She hesitated. She seemed afraid to go back into that dark, empty house. But I went running over to the Marlings' house. I couldn't wait to take off the hot, smelly wolf skin. I pulled myself onto the window ledge, then lowered my legs into the open bedroom window. I stepped into the room. Pale moonlight washed over the bare floorboards. Hannah dropped into the room behind me. "Alex?" she called. I started to tug off the heavy werewolf skin, but something near the closet caught my eye. I stopped and walked over to it. A folded up wolf skin lay on the floor against the wall.
"Huh?" I let out a startled cry and I turned to Hannah.
"How can there be a wolf skin in here?" I asked. "There are only two of them, right? You put one on, and you gave one to me. That's two minus two. That should be zero. I know my basic math." Hannah stepped up beside me, her eyes locked on mine. "I didn't wear the one from this house, Alex," she said softly. "I used my own. I just got it last night."
"Huh?" I cried. "I don't get it."
"You will," she whispered. She knocked me to the floor with her heavy forepaws and sank her teeth into my chest. The end. Wow. Okay, first off, he's either becoming a werewolf or dying, but most likely dying, right? Or how's it work? I know like vampires can like bite a little bit and then the person turns or whatever. But they can also drain them. But werewolves? How does that work? Anyway, the teeth were in the chest. This was kind of ruined for me because I recorded the first half very drunk. So I went to the Goosebumps Wikia. And if you go to werewolf skin, let me look it up right now. The very first thing explaining the plot of the book goes... blah, 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 Alexander, blah, blah. She introduces herself as Hannah, then parentheses, who is actually a werewolf in disguise, and states she lives in a nearby house. And I'm like, thanks, assholes who write that.
So all along, I knew the twist, but I didn't want to ruin it for you because you're my friends. Anyway, I'm Dune. I'm at Dune on Twitter, but I'm not as good at Twitter lately. I'm at Dune_M on Instagram. You can email me at Dune@DuneReadsGoosebumps.com. And please subscribe and watch the videos on YouTube.com/How's That Thing. How's That Thing? That's it. I don't know. I got a meeting tomorrow morning about unrelated stuff. I'm just trying to finish this up. And have a healthy dinner and, you know, just keep on with my life. There's only really one more book that I haven't done at all, but I really think that, I don't know if I think actually, I think that Gio thinks, but I might just trust him on this one, that I should redo the ones that other people did and put them up. But I still plan to do the Give Yourself Goosebumps, whether live or on the internet with people choosing them, but I'm not sure. But this definitely won't just end once I do two more episodes. I can guarantee you that much. Unless I die. You know, I can't promise that. But until I die, I promise to stay spooky, bitches.